ओमज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपा कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वापदान्तिकं वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरुः श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवाञ्च श्रीरूपं सागरजातं सहगणरघुनाथन्वितं तं सजीवम् अददनस्य तृणन्दन्ते हृदं याच पुनः पुनः श्रीमदरूपपदां भोजोऽलिस्यां मम जन्मनि जन्मनि जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासरि गौर भक्त वृंद आनंद लीलामय विग्रहाय हेमांग दिव्या छवि सुंदराय तस्मै महाप्रेम पत्ताय श्री चैतन्य चंद्राय नमो आराध्य भगवान् व्रजेशतनयस्तद्धाम वृन्दावनम् रम्या काचित् उपासना व्रजवधु वर्गेन वा कल्पिता श्रीमद्भागवतं प्रमाणममलं प्रेमा पुमार्थो महान् श्रीचैतन्य महाप्रभोर्मतमिदं तत्रादारानवरः सो विल कंटिन्यू फ्रॉम द डिस्कशन ऑफ लॉर्ड चैतन्य एंड श्री रूप गोस्वामी वेर लॉर्ड चैतन्य इज इंस्ट्रक्टिंग रूप गोस्वामी अबाउट वराइटीज ऑफ relationship that we can establish with the Lord. And then he spoke already about the five permanent relationship that we can have with the Lord and another seven or eight which are a temporary one. And after explaining that, he explains about there are two kinds of ratis or prema that we can have with the Lord. One is Aishwarya Rati and another, what was the one that we discussed last time? Okay, what is Aishwarya Rati? No. Did we discuss something last time? So what we discussed last time? The love which does not have knowledge about the opulence of the Lord. Do you remember something?
Yeah. What?
She was right there in the class last time. With mind and intelligence and memory, everything. Yes, that's true. Because Brajavasis, they never cared about his opulences. That's why their attachment for the Lord was opulence means Aishwarya. So they never cared about his opulences. Even though sometimes Lord manifested himself that he's having that opulences, like He showed twice universal form to Mother Yashoda, but she never cared. She said, this is my child, you know. So we discussed so many pastimes actually. You forgot. How are you going to remember Krishna at the time of death then? Huh? Is that so easy? We discussed whole 1 hour on that. At least, thank you for encouraging me by remembering. The Dwarka Vasis, Mathura Vasis, we discussed so many things. What we discussed? You should take some tuitions from her, okay, at home. Yes, but go ahead. He started developing that awe and reverence rather than the intimacy. Krishna killed Kansa, and what happened then? Sridhama came and he just jumped on him and sat on his chest. He said, hey, it's me who has defeated you. And you think yourself as a powerful and you killed Kansa, but I'm defeating you. So that was like a Kevala Rati. Kevala means pure Rati, pure Prema. They don't have tinge of opulence. They don't have any awe and reverence for Krishna, but they have more intimate love for him. So after explaining that, now Lord Gauranga is explaining each prema, like a shantara, about each devotee in different rasa. So he is explaining about the shantarasa. So how you can understand that which rasa do you belong to actually? So what are the symptoms of that particular rasa? So what was the Shantarasa? Do you remember anything we spoke about? Okay, when you go back, just go back and re-listen that same lecture. Now in details, Lord Gauranga is explaining. Like a Shantarasa, they have understood the supremacy of the Lord. But there is only knowledge, no service attitude. And Shantarasa maybe they are like a Brahmavadis. They believe in God, but not in particular a personal form. So when someone develops Shantarati, so what are the symptoms they have? That has explained further by Lord Gauranga here. He says, Shantarase Swarupa Buddher Krishnaika Nishtha Shamomana Nishtha Buddhe Iti Shri Mukha Gata. He says that when one is fully attached to Krishna's lotus feet, one attains the Samatha stage, Shamatha. The word Shamatha is derived from the word Shama. Therefore, Shantarasa, the position of neutrality, means being fully attached to the lotus feet of Krishna. This is the verdict from the mouth of Supreme Personality of a Godhead Himself. This state is called self-realization. In Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, when Rupa Goswami, he writes, then he says that Shamo mana nishtha buddher iti shri bhagavat vachaha tan nishtha durgatha buddher etam Shanta Ratim Vina. He says, like a personality of a Godhead, when one's intelligence is fully attached by lotus feet, my lotus feet, but one does not render practical service, one has attained the stage of Shantarati or Shama. Without Shantarati, attachment to Krishna is very difficult to achieve. Then Lord Gauranga, he quotes from the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, where Uddhava Gita was spoken. So there Lord says, Shamo mana nishtha buddhil dama indriya sanyamaha titiksha dukkha samsaro jivopastha jayo dhritihi. See, these three terminology that we need to understand properly. Because once we have taken up a devotional service, we should know this terminology. Like being a software engineer, there are some common codes that you need to know, that these are the basics. So those basics are explained here, which are needed to understand to perform a devotional service. So the word Shama or Shantarasa indicates that one is attached to the lotus feet of Krishna. Dhamma means controlling the senses and not being deviated from the Lord's service. Endurance of unhappiness is called titiksha. And dhriti means controlling the tongue and genitals. So shama means controlling intelligence and engaging in Krishna's service. So shama means controlling the inner desires that we have for sense gratification. Dhamma means externally controlling, subduing your senses. Sometimes Dhamma, that word is used to subdue your enemies. So if senses are not used in Krishna's service, so they are like enemies. So what Lord has spoken to Uddhava, he says that most important thing in devotional service that one should practice Shama. Shama means controlling intelligence and mental activities, which are subtle things. Dhamma means controlling your senses, means engaging in then Krishna service. Because as Bhakti Rasamrita Hindu itself says that Rishikena Rishikesha Sevanam Bhakti Ruchate. Rishik means indriyas, and Rishikesha means who is the master of the senses. So if you want to control your senses, then what do you have to do? You have to engage them in the service of its master. Then he gives two terminology. Those are most important because all we are in this material world. And there are things which is beyond our control. If things which are beyond our control, what we can do? Just tolerate. Nothing else. Things which is beyond our control, we can't do anything for that, but we can tolerate them. And that's what it says, that endurance of unhappiness is called as a titiksha. And that's when Bhagavad Gita Lord's, he give instruction to Arjuna that tam titikshvasa Arjuna. Arjuna, there are things which is beyond your control and you can't do that. Do anything for that. So what you can do? Tam titikshva. That time you just tolerate. Endurance. And then he says dhriti, because the most important thing to increase our determination, we need to develop a quality of dhriti. Dhriti means something that you can hold on, control. So what are those things that we need to control? Have you read Nectar of Instruction? Have you heard about that? Upadeshamrut, the book written by Rupa Goswami. The first verse is itself that says that we need to control those things. So what are those? Jivavegam, Vachovegam, Jivavegam, Udara Upastavegam. So these are like a strong urges that senses has. Vacho, vani. We want to speak something, you know. Without speaking, we can't live. So we need to control that. Vacho vegam, jiva vegam. Then tongue. Tongue has two functions. One, it tastes, and second, it vibrates. And both thing causes us bondage in this world. Vacho vegam, jiva vegam, udara. Udara means belly. And upastha means genital. So, they come in straight line, you know. If one is uncontrolled, definitely other will be uncontrolled. And one is controlled, then other will automatically get controlled. Like a jiva, if you control your tongue, automatically rest of other senses will get controlled. When you see the big ships, or sometimes what we call them as big ships, cargo ships, they don't have wheels, you know, definitely. Then how they turn? What is that that turns them? Have you heard about anything? How do they turn the big cargo ships? It has one radar. And that make turn that whole, like a 1 kilometer long cargo ship gets turned just by the few meters radar, you know, that makes move. So the whole body is turned according to our tongue. If tongue wants to test something good, from this corner of Utah, they travel other corner of the Utah. Because there they have a good restaurant, you know. So the small tongue that makes you run almost like 100 miles. So tongue has that much function, that much control on our body. So if that tongue is controlled, then automatically all the senses, they are controlled. In the Purport, Prabhupada says that control of the urges of the tongue, the belly and genitals, which are situated in a straight line, is called dhriti. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, Taramadde jivati lobhamaya sudarmati. Among the senses, the tongue is the most formidable enemy of a conditioned soul. Urged by the tongue, one commits many sinful activities. Although Krishna has given human being nice food, people still commit sins by killing poor animals for the satisfaction of the tongue. Not being able to control the tongue, the conditioned soul eats more than he needs. Of course, everyone must eat to keep the body fit for Lord's service. But when one cannot control the senses, he falls victim to the dictation of the senses. Naturally, genital agitation follows. He falls victim to the dictations of the tongue and the belly. Naturally, genital agitation follows and one seeks illicit sex. However, if one is fixed at the lotus feet of Krishna, he can control the tongue. Bhaktivinoda Thakur further states, Krishna bada dayamay karibare jiva jai swa prasad anna dilabhai. In order to conquer the tongue, Krishna has been very merciful and has given us nice food that has been offered to him. When a person is attracted to Krishna's lotus feet, he does not eat anything not offered to Krishna. Seyanamrata khav Radha Krishna gunagav premidaka chaitanya nitai. Since a devotee eats only prasadam, he conquers the dictations of tongue, belly and genitals. One can control the dictates of the senses when situated in the position of Shantarasa. Then one's advancement in Krishna consciousness is assured. So for this purpose, the whole thing Prabhupada gives in one sentence. He says that one can control the dictates of the senses when situated in the position of Shantarasa. So the symptom of a devotee who is in the Shantarasa is that he has control over his senses. Then further he says there are another two things that specifies the Shantarasa. And what are those? He says, Krishna Vina Trishna Tyaga Tarakarya Mani Atayeva Shanta Krishna Bhakta Eka Jani. So the most important things that he has, one is Trishna Tyaga. He gives up all the material activities which are not attached to Krishna. And second thing, Krishna Nishta. He is totally situated on the platform that everything is meant for Krishna's service. Nothing else. So these are the two symptoms of the devotee who is in the Shantarasa. Then Gauranga Mahaprabhu, he quotes one... He tells about what are the aspirations of karmis and ganis and what is the aspiration of Shantarasa or the devotees in Shantarasa. He says that Swarga Moksha Krishna Bhakta Narak Karimani. The devotee of Krishna, he never cares about hell and heaven or even for the liberation. For him, heaven and liberation both are like a hell only, because both are the places for sense gratification, or hell and liberation also. Because if there is no service, they don't want that liberation that we already discussed in the previous verses. So Krishna Nishtha and Trishna Tyaga. He gives up all the material activities which are meant for his own sense gratification, and he develops more faith in the lotus feet of Krishna. Then Mahaprabhu quotes from the Srimad Bhagavatam. He says that the consciousness of a pure devotee, what do they think about? He says that Narayana Parasarve na Kutashana Bibhyati Swarga Apavarga Narkeshva Api Tulyartha Darshinaha. Actually, this verse comes in the episode of Vritrasura. So once Lord Shiva, he was giving a discourse on Vairagya for all the hermitage or great ascetics in the Himalayas. He was sitting right in the Kailasa and giving discourse on that. But while giving that discourse, he was having Mother Sati sitting in his lap. And Chitraketu Maharaj, he was flying in the aeroplane and he saw that. And he just started laughing. And because of his laugh, Parvati got offended. She said, what is this? All these great sages are sitting here. They don't have any, they are not making any mockery, or they are not having any comment about this. And why this person is laughing at us? And she asked, what has happened? Then he said, what a funny thing. He is giving discourse to everyone and he is having one of the most beautiful lady in the world sitting on his lap, and he is giving a discourse on Vairagya. And Chitraketu Maharaj was laughing because he was saying only Lord Shiva can do this, no one else can do. Actually, he was glorifying Lord Shiva, but she took it in the other way. And she cursed him. You have a demonic mentality, so be demon. And he said, okay, if Lord desires that I should become demon, I am ready for that. And he accepted that very happily. Lord Shiva said, hey, what you have done? You have offended a great devotee. You know who is he? And then Lord Shiva has spoken this verse. Narayana para sarvena kutashana vibhati. You put the Narayana para, means who was always situated in Krishna consciousness, or who is always thinking about the Lord. You put them anywhere. That doesn't matter then. Why? Because wherever they go, they remember Lord. And if you remember Lord, Lord is right there. So for them, everywhere is Vaikuntha only. So whether you put them in hell or heaven, that doesn't make difference for them. And that's why he says, a person who is devoted to the Supreme Personality of a Godhead, Narayana, is not afraid of anything. Elevation to heavenly kingdoms or condemnation to hell and liberated from the material bondage all appear the same to the devotee. Why? Because wherever they go, what they will do? Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. That's what they do, wherever you put them. And then further, Mahaprabhu says, Yai dui guna vyape sab bhakta jane akashera shabda guna yena bhuta gane. These two qualities of Shanta stage spread through the lives of all devotees. They are like the quality of sound in the sky. Sound vibration is found in all material elements. What it means actually? He says that these two qualities are common with all the devotees. They are like a sound. Movable, non-movable. Everything has its own sound. Does it make sense? It has its own sound. It has its own sound. So everything has its own. Even light, beams, they have a sound. So same way, these two qualities of Shanta, Rasa, they are all there in Sakya Rasa also, they are there in Dasya Rasa also, they are there in Vatsalya Rasa also, and they are there in Madhurya Rasa also. So just to exemplify that, he has given example of sound. As sound is everywhere in the ether, so same way it is everywhere in the all the objects also. So same way, these two qualities are common in all the rasas. In the purport, Prabhupada says, the two qualities of Shanta mentioned in the above verse are present in all kinds of devotees, whether they are in the Dasya Rasa, Sakya Rasa, Vatsalya Rasa or Madhurya Rasa. The example of sound is given herein. Sound not only exists in the sky or ether, but it is also present in air, fire, water, earth. This is scientific explanation of the devotional service. Just as the sound is present in all the material elements, the qualities found in Shantarasa are present in all the devotees. Then further, he says, Shantera Swabhava Krishne Mamata Gandahina Parama Brahma Paramatma Jnana Praveena. So what is lacking and what is existing in Shantarasa, that has explained in this verse. He says that Shantera Swabhava Krishne Mamata Gandahina. So basically what happens, it is the nature of Shantarasa that not even the smallest intimacy exists. There is no intimacy with the Krishna. There is no give and take, actually. There is no relationship. Because intimacy happens when you develop relationship. So what is there then in the Shantarasa? He says that, rather, knowledge of impersonal Brahman and localized Paramatma is prominent there. He does not develop a personal relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. But he has relationship with Brahman and Paramatma. Those are like a localized aspect. So, kevela swarupa jnana haya shantarase purna aishwarya prabhu jnana adhika haya dase. So, now the comparison has given in two rasas. What is there in the shantarasa and what is there in the dasya rasa? He says that Purna Aishwarya Prabhu Jnana, the knowledge of the full opulence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is more in Dasya Rasa than the Shanta Rasa. Kevala Swarupa Jnana, only Swarupa Jnana is there, but not the Aishwarya. On the platform of Shantarasa, one realizes only his constitutional position. But when one is raised to the platform of Dasarasa, he better understands the full opulence of the Supreme Personality of a Godhead. So, in Dasarasa, what happens? He knows his position as well as the position of the Supreme Personality of a Godhead. And Shantarasa, he realizes only his position, Swarupa Jnana. Swarupa, his own constitutional position. But in Dasya Rasa, what happens? He has a better understanding about the opulences of the Supreme Personality of a God. Then further, Lord Gauranga says, Ishvara Jnana Sambhrama Gaurava Prachur Seva Kari Krishna Sukha Dena Nirantara. Again he further explains about the symptoms of Dasya Rasa. Now Shantarasa has done. He is explaining about Dasya Rasa. On the Dasya Rasa platform, knowledge of the Supreme Personality of your Godhead is revealed with awe and veneration. By rendering service unto Lord Krishna, the devotee in Dasya Rasa gives constant happiness to the Lord. Shantera guna dasya ache adhika sevana atayeva dasya raser yei duigana. So now what are the prominent gunas, qualities that Dasya Rasa has? He says the qualities of Shantarasa are also present in Dasyarasa, but service is added. Thus, the Dasyarasa platform contains the qualities of both Shantarasa and Dasyarasa. It's like five material elements. See, five material elements, what happens? First is ether. So, ether has a sound. Okay? Then it comes to the ether to air. The subtlest is ether, because you can't see that. You can feel, but you can't see ether. So next to that, little more grosser than the ether is air. Because air has mass. Yeah, scientifically she is telling me. So it is more grosser than the ether. So more grosser than the air is fire. Because fire has a shape, fire has sound, and ether is also included in the fire already. So next to that is water. So what are the things that are added in the water? Water has a shape, water has a sound, and what is more? Test. And if you go to the earth, what happens? Everything is included in the earth. It has a, but one more thing is that is smell. Water does not have its own smell. Unless and until some contamination is there, it will not smell. So earth has all these things, whatever the ether, air, fire and water has. So same way, in this all the rasas, whatever the prime quality that Shantarasa has, that is there in the Dasya Rasa. So Dasya Rasa, what is the added thing? Seva. Okay. So it has Shama, Dama, Krishna Nishtha, and Trishna Tyag. Both things are there. Addition to that, one more thing is there, that is Seva. So, that makes the prominent in the Dasya Rasa. Is that clear? If I ask next time, you will remember hopefully. Huh? Shantera Guna Dasyara Sevana Sakhe Dui Haya Dasyara Sambrama Gaurava Seva Sakhe Vishwasa Maya. So he says further that qualities of Shantarasa and the service of a Dasyarasa are both present on the platform of Sakhya Rasa. On the platform of fraternity, the quality of Dasya Rasa are mixed with the confidence of fraternity instead of awe and veneration. Dasya Rasa has only Swarupa Gyan. No, sorry, Shantarasa had only Swarupa Gyan, knowing the position, our own position. Dasya Rasa has a more understanding about the opulences of the Lord. Okay? So that is like a Aishwarya Gyan. That has like, they know more, and there is an awe and reverence also in Dasya Rasa. But when it comes to Sakya Rasa, what happens? That awe and reverence goes somewhere else. That is not there. But it has a service attitude with other two qualities in the Shantarasa. What is lacking here? Not, we can't say lacking, but it is not present there at all. That is awe and reverence. And that's why it is more intimate. When you lose awe and reverence for someone, when you become too close to him, that's why this is a familiarity breed contempt. Ati parichayat avadnya. When you go too close, then you don't feel that formal awe and reverence. You have that, but not necessarily that you will show it every time, because that familiarity comes. But one more thing that is there in Sakya Rasa, that is Vishwas. You have more faith in your own brothers and sisters than your servants or whom you are employed actually. That's what happens. No? More confidential things you give it to the people whom you have a confidence. So, Shantarasa has his own quality, Swarupa Gyan. Dasyarasa has a service attitude. And Sakya Rasa, confidence, Vishwas. Okay. Then further he says, Kandhe chade, kandhe chadai, kare krida rana, Krishna seve, Krishna karaya apana sevana. In Sakya Rasa what happens? They keep their hands around their shoulders, their neck, they climb on his shoulders. They render service to him and they ask to render service to them. Like sometimes when Krishna used to go for Gocharan Leela, he used to lie down. And then automatically, no need to tell anyone. Someone will go and he will just pluck out the big leaf and they will come and they start fanning him. Someone will come and start massaging Krishna's feet. And sometimes when Gopas, they used to get tired, they used to tell, Krishna, come here, I'm not able to walk now. Can you just take me on your shoulders? And Krishna used to carry them. So that sort of intimacy is there in Sakya Rasa. So he says that Vishrambha Pradhana Sakya Gaurava Sambrahma Hina. So there is no awe and reverence in Sakya Rasa, but what is more prominent? Confidential service. Therefore, Sakya Rasa is characterized by the qualities of three rasas. Then further Mahaprabhu says, Mamata adhika krishne atma samadhyana atayeva sakya rasir vasha bhagavana. On the platform of Sakya Rasa, the Supreme Personality of a Godhead, Krishna, is controlled by the devotee who are intimate with him and think themselves equal to him. And that's why they can wrestle with him, you know. You can't wrestle with your boss, can you? You can't. But with your friend, you can do that. Vatsalya shantera guna dasera sevana seyi sevanera hina nama ihana nama palana. So in the Vatsalya, there are the qualities of a shantarasa. So what is the quality of shantarasa? Swarupa jnana. Okay. Then dasera sevana, there is a service attitude from a dasya. And seyi sevanera ihana nama palana. So what kind of a service attitude they have? That service attitude is named here as a palana. Service of maintaining their lordship. Maintenance, palak. They become the maintainer or minotaur of the Lord. So he says here, Sakhera guna asankocha agaurava sara mamata adhikye tadana bhratsana vyavahara. In Sakhyarasa, asankocha, they don't have a sankocha there, you know. What do you call it in English? Hesitance is not there. And that's why they can just take out from Krishna's hand and put in the mouth. You can't do it with the Lord. Can you? What you eat, you can just feed it to Krishna. Like sometimes, whatever they used to bring in their tiffin, they used to taste it first. Krishna, this is very sweet. You can have it. So they will eat and then they will feed it to Krishna. Can you do it with him? No. So that is intimacy. But more than that, in Vatsalya, what happens? More mamata. So more attachment. So in that attachment, tadana, they can bit also. And they can punish also, Lord. And that's what we can see in the Damodar Leela. The essence of fraternal love is intimacy, devoid of the formality and veneration found in Dasya Rasa. Due to a greater sense of intimacy, the devotee functioning in the paternal love chastises and rebukes the Lord in an ordinary way. Then further, Mahaprabhu says, Apanera palaka jnana, Krishne palya jnana, chari gune vasalya rasa amrita samana. On the platform of paternal love, the devotee considers himself the Lord's maintainer. Thus the Lord is the object of maintenance, like a son, and therefore this mellow is full of qualities of four rasas: shantarasa, dasarasa, fraternity, and parental love. This is more transcendental nectar. See, all these conceptions, they are not there in Abrahamic religions. They don't have all these details with them, you know. They love God. They don't love, but they do everything out of fear, because they will get punished. They have that sense of punishment, you know, getting punished. That's why they do it. But here, in the Vedic religion, what is prominent? Relations. It's not that who is somewhere in the seventh sky and ordering from there. But our sense of philosophy is that he's everywhere. He's within everyone's heart, you know. And on top of that, you can relate yourself with him in one particular relationship, which is not there with them. And that's why that love concept they don't have. They are more violent. And we can't become violent because we see Vasudeva Kutumbakam. Generally they think that these people are more tolerant. Why we are tolerant? Because we know who is controlling everything. If someone does something wrong, it's not he. He's just instrument, but something else is working behind him. And what is that? His previous karma. Like Duryodhana, he himself once opens up and he says, it's not me, someone else who is dictating me actually. I wanted to do something good, but I turned to do some bad.
Do you know his actual name in Mahabharata? What was his actual name? Which was called by two persons. One Maharaj Yudhishthir and Mahatma Vidur. They used to call him with that name. Actually, his name was Suyodhan. Yudhishthira Maharaj never called him as a Duryodhan. He always called him as a Suyodhan. And up to last point, even Vidurji also called him as a Suyodhan only. He himself opens up and he tells to Krishna, I don't know, something is there, you know, someone is there who is just forcing me to do all these things. Because he is Anshrapa Kali. So Kali was prompting him and he was following his conduct. So why I was telling that? What was the reason? Because the Vedic religion gives us a clear picture. We have a bird's eye view. Do you understand what it means? With our views, we can see things like a 22 degree down and 21 or 28 degree up like that. That is what our spectrum, that much what we can see. And more than that, if you want to see, then you have to bend down, turn like this. But if you have a bird's eye view, means it's something from somewhere from the up, and you will get the more clear picture like that. So Vedic philosophy has a clear picture about the things happening in the world, not just short-sightedness. And other religions, they are like a short-sightedness because they are just seeing in the front. They are like a horses whose eyes are clapped with the covers. Generally in the rest they do it because he should just focus on that only track. Because we have that particular way of connecting ourselves with the God in different relationships, which they does not know about. So we should take advantage of that. And that's why all these different relationships with the Lord, with the prominent qualities, are explained. Even though we are not having that right now, but at least we should know this is what our aspiration. If you are connected with this particular sampradaya, and if you want to have a connection with the Lord, so these are the connections that you can develop with. Does it make sense? Then further, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in his Atma Prabhava Bhasha on this particular verse, he says that the complicated description of the different rasas, he gives the summary, short summary of the complicated descriptions. He states that by becoming firmly fixed in Lord's service, one is devoid of all material desires. When you will render service, when you have a clear understanding about that person and your position. There are two transcendental qualities on Shantarasa platform. Just as the sound vibration is found in all the material elements, these two qualities of Shantarasa are spread throughout all the other transcendental melodies, which are known as Dasya Rasa, Sakya Rasa, Vatsalya Rasa and Madhura Rasa. Although in Shantarasa there is attachment for Krishna in awe and veneration, since the two valuable transcendental qualities of this rasa are attachment for Krishna and detachment from material desires, which is like Krishna Nishtha and Trishna Tyag. Nonetheless, the sense of intimacy is lacking. So what is lacking there is sense of intimacy. The reason for this is that in Shantarasa, attachment for impersonal Brahman and localized Paramatma is prominent. In other words, the sense of intimacy by which one thinks of Krishna as one's only shelter and friend is absent in Shantarasa because one accepts Krishna as the impersonal Parabrahman or localized Paramatma. That's it. Not more than that. This understanding is based on the speculative knowledge of the Jnani. However, when this knowledge is further developed, one is convinced that the Paramatma, the Supreme Lord, is the Master and that the living entity is His eternal servant. So generally, someone who is attached to the impersonal feature of the Lord, they don't believe in deity worship. They think that He is everywhere, you know. And if they see someone that someone is offering food, then they say that how is it possible? Lord is supreme. He is aptakama. He is self-satisfied. He does not need anything. Why? Because there is no love. Devotee will never think that. If he feels cold, immediately he will think about, hey, buying a shawl for the Lord. Now it's getting cold, you know, get new heater for him. And the Jnani, he will laugh at him. Hi, do you think he is a Lord? How he can feel cold? Huh? Yad bibheti svayam bhayam. The fear is getting afraid of him. And sun is getting hot because of his desire. Then how he is getting cold? That's what the Jnani will think. But because there is no intimacy. Then further he says, however, when this knowledge is further developed, one is convinced that Paramatma, the Supreme Lord, is the Master and that the living entity is His eternal servant. One then attains the platform of Dasya Rasa. In Dasya Rasa, the Lord is accepted with awe and veneration. Thus, the active service that is absent in Shantarasa becomes prominent in Dasya Rasa. In other words, in Dasya Rasa, the qualities of Shantarasa are present. The service also becomes prominently visible. Similarly, when this same rasa is developed into the Sakya Rasa, a friendly intimacy is added. There is no awe and veneration in Sakya Rasa. Therefore, Sakya Rasa is invested with the qualities of Shantarasa, Dasya Rasa and Sakya. Similarly, on the platform of a paternal love, the qualities of Shantarasa, Dasya Rasa, Sakya Rasa are fully developed in another form, the sense of maintaining the Lord. Therefore, on the platform of paternal love, there exists a combination of the qualities of four transcendental mellows: Shanta, Dasya, Sakya and Vatsalya. The mellows of parenthood puts the devotee in the position of maintainer. Indeed, without formality, the devotee takes the position of maintainer and regards the Lord as the object of maintenance. Thus, on the platform of parental love, the qualities of four transcendental mellows of love for Krishna are present. Sei Atmanande Bhakta Saha Dubena Apane Krishna Bhakta Vashaguna Kahe Aishwarya Jnani Gane. The exchange of spiritual happiness between Krishna and His devotee, in which Krishna is controlled by His devotee, is compared to an ocean of a nectar into which the devotee and Krishna plunge. This is the verdict of a learned scholar who appreciates Krishna's opulence. And then the verse comes from Damodar Ashtaka. And what is that? Guess. Tukka maro. Huh?
Iti druksva lila virananda kunde svaghosham nimajantam akhyapayantam
tadiyeshu tadnesho vaktirjitatvam puna prematastam shatavritivande. What this verse means, you are singing at least for last 10 days and previous to that 1 month. What this verse says about, what it speaks about. Iti druksvalilabhir anandakunde. Lord is plunging all the Vrajavasis in the pool of ecstasy by performing all these pastimes. So all these pastimes in different rasas. And that's what he spoke about. Why he is performing all these pastimes? Because he wanted to have the intimate relationship with the different devotees according to their mood. And that's why the pastimes in the Vraja are more glorious than any other pastime he has done in other incarnations. Because some of the incarnation he just came, wind up his business and he moved from there. And there he really showed his opulences. But here, he forgot all his opulences. Chachiyabari chachva nacha nachaye gopiya. For the handful of a butter or buttermilk, they are making him dance and he was dancing. And who is he? Namam Ishwaram Sachidananda Rupam. He is the topmost supreme personality of a Godhead who is having the eternal, blissful, transcendental form. And he is dancing for handful of a buttermilk. Why? Because he had that intimate relationship with them. That need to be understood. And rest of the things that we'll discuss on our next week's discussion. I think it is enough for today. Otherwise, there will be too much to remember. And I will ask definitely recap from all of you only that what we have discussed today. Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki jai, Shri Pada Rupa Goswami Pada ki jai, Shri